on clearing the clutter inside and out, we are talking about perfectionism. Do friends tease you about being a perfectionist? Have you ever missed out on an opportunity or something you really wanted to do because you were afraid you wouldn't be perfect? Are you concerned that you have unattainable standards for everything and that is turning people away? Would you like to be able to relax a little and learn how to let go of the need to be perfect? Let's continue our month as we focus on spring and renewal.
Ready to clear your clutter and share your gifts with the world? Every Tuesday at 1 p.m., join award-winning professional organizer, author, and certified life coach Julie Caraccio on Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out, as she teaches you how to navigate the waters to declutter your life. Julie Caraccio destroys the box and examines clutter in all areas: physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, energetic, relationships, health, finances, and more.
All right, everyone, very important topic today. We're talking about perfectionism. Now, the podcast is about clutter, it's about getting it organized, and this is going to fit in the mindfulness category because, to me, perfectionism can hit any area of our life. I know I was thinking yesterday, I did an interview, and I had a great interview, this really wonderful man, and I went, when he asked me a question, and the perfectionist in me was like, Julie, oh my gosh, is going to be able to edit? And I remember, I'm in the middle of the interview, and I want to be fully present to give the best Julie that I can be. And that little perfectionist voice started talking. You know, if you've been listening to the podcast, I have been working on these books. They are real. I'm not making them up. But that little perfectionist in my head's like, oh, do you really want to put it on Amazon? Because is it good enough? Is it perfect enough? What are people going to say? And a little critic. And you know how that goes. So today we're going to talk about perfectionism. I'm really excited. Today's guest, Kelly, I'm going to tell you about her in a moment. I was interviewed on her podcast, which we'll definitely get her to tell you about. And we're going to be sharing that next month when I do, or in May when I do podcasts. So it's really a lot of good stuff coming up. And if you're watching on YouTube, I have fairy hair. There is nothing missing in my hair. Next time I'm going full on fairy hair, but these nice little sparkles are meant to be there. All right, let me tell you about Kelly. Kelly Covert is an inner voice coach with a passion for helping women lay down their lifelong habits of perfectionism and chronic overachieving so they can listen to their inner voice and love themselves fully every single day. Her work has been featured on the Huffington Post, the Elephant Journal, yourtango.com, and she is the co-host of the Strong Body Whole Heart podcast. Kelly is also a professional flutist, wife, mother of two boys, and a baby girl beagle. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me, Julie. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
Well, we are thrilled. I did not know you were a professional flutist. I think that is completely awesome. I have zero music ability. I probably went through four or five interests as a kid and nothing took. What I like to say is my older brother stole all the ability. So by the time you got to the middle child, there was nothing left.
Nothing left. Well, and thank you. Yeah. And I think that a lot of my battles with perfectionism, quite honestly, stem from the fact that I'm a professional musician. So it's been an interesting life journey for me in both arenas.
Oh, I love that. Let's get started. How does wanting to be perfect create clutter in our lives?
Oh my gosh. Well, you nailed it in your intro, right? Like you're sitting in this, you're doing this interview with this amazing man and you want to be present and you want to be there and fully aware and with him in that moment. And all you can pay attention to is your inner voice. Da, 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 da. This is not good enough. Will you be able to do this? Are you sure that this won't be a failure? All of those tapes that go on and on and on incessantly for many of us, you know, decades and decades of negative self-talk that just runs all the time in the background. And if that's not clutter, I don't know what is. You know, you can, I think even if you almost pictured it visually, all of those words running through your mind, think of how much space that takes up in our head.
And how much energy that we waste.
Totally
trying to be perfect. That's a great visual. I can completely see that with just 1,000,000,000 words right around your brain.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I've noticed about myself is that my brain feels full a lot. And I think that's because I have a lot of things going on that I want to have going on. I'm a creative person. And so I have ideas, but I don't want to clutter up that space up there with stuff that's not serving me. And, you know, that perfectionist talk up there doesn't empower me to make my life better. It doesn't empower me to take action on the things that I want to take action on. It doesn't empower me to be me, because it's really always about proving and showing someone that I can do it. And I don't need all of that junk. That's just junk laying around, if you ask me.
I agree 100%. It definitely is junk. Now, I'm curious what your perspective has been. Do you find that people tend to be perfectionists in one area of their lives, or it for some people is kind of an overall thing? I was thinking about this and I thought, I'm a perfectionist. I've relaxed a little on the podcast. I thought, if I, you know, again, if I have an or ah and I don't edit it out, they're not going to die when they listen to it. And with my writing, I know that I can tend to be like, okay, and you know, I could rewrite and edit till the cows come home. How the laundry's done, not so much of a perfectionist. So what have you found?
Oh, I think that's totally true. And it's interesting because I'm the same way. Like when it comes to career things or music things, that's where my also, oh, parenting. That's a biggie for me. That's when my perfectionism tends to rear its head. But like you said, like when it comes to like how my house is, I am like not a good housekeeper, which would be appalling to my mother, who that's where her perfectionism really was. So I think a lot of my lack of perfectionism there is a reaction to how I was raised up in that way. But I think that that's really normal. And I think when I, call myself a perfectionist, and anyone who would fall into that category, it's someone that their perfectionism is getting in the way of them living their authentic life. And it, that could be in one area, it could be in many areas. I don't think it really matters. What does it mean to define a perfectionist? For me, it's just if it's getting in the way of you being you and of you loving you, then that's something that probably you should be working on.
I love that. I think that that's a great definition. I think that's absolutely fantastic because I know people that I love and I've seen how perfectionism just stops them. They're these wonderful, amazing people. Not only stops them, I love the, using the term authentic self, living their life and having joy, because it's the, caught up in the energy and the anxiety and the worry that comes along with that. And it just breaks my heart. I mean, they have to make the choice to change that, but you think, oh, you know, you're missing out and you're so awesome and I wish you could see what I see.
Yeah, I think that that idea of the lack of joy, like I can so, that resonates with me so much because I remember times in my life where I was doing everything right. I was doing everything the way I should be doing or the way I was supposed to be doing. And I was successful. And like, if you looked at me from the outside in, you would say, wow, how does she do it all? It's amazing. And I had zero joy, zero, you know, like it's just, I was just, it was like empty inside because I was putting all this effort into making my life look perfect when, and you know, that wasn't aligned with my soul. Number one, because we can't be perfect. And when we're trying to make it look like that, then there's a disconnect there. And I really feel like our soul feels that, you know, it feels that pulling away. And some people call that, you know, being in a funk. Some people call it losing their mojo. Some people might call it depression, although I don't want to diminish the, you know, true definition of medical depression. But I think that this idea that, you know, when we're tearing away from what our soul is asking us to do, it's going to be painful internally.
I think social media has also added to this feeling of perfectionism. I read this really interesting article, I don't remember where, and it's someone I don't follow on Instagram, but it's apparently making six figures, and she's, I guess what I'd call a lifestyle person, but she's, they're two parents, and they have two small children, and, you know, hiring a professional photographer in Central Park in New York City to get the, what's the word I'm looking for, the spontaneous shot. And, you know, and the writer's kind of asking these great questions, like, do you see a disconnect or do you see how this mine is ironic or maybe is not authentic or you're kind of, you know, giving people snow job and just wasn't going to go there, wasn't going to admit it. And I thought, wow. And then bringing the children into that. And that, you know, would be a whole other thing. But the presenting this ideal, and I know there have been studies done. We see all these things on Facebook and we get depressed because that's not our life, but it's not real, most of it.
Right. And I think that's when perfectionism is really driven a lot by comparison. So like, why do I think I am not perfect? Because I look at someone else and my life doesn't look like theirs. And so that, and you know, there's that wonderful quote, comparison is the thief of joy.
I like that.
Yeah. And it, you know, to me, that's exactly what happened. Like I'm looking outwardly to try to measure up, to say, this is what my life should look like, instead of looking inward, connecting with my true inner voice and asking my soul, okay, what does my life need to look like? And when I do that, it's not perfect, but it wasn't perfect before either. And right. Now it's aligned with what I want. It feels really good. I have joy in my life. I'm flowing with ideas. I'm not yelling at my kids all the time, although it happens sometimes. And you know that, and I like to call myself a recovering perfectionist because I do feel like I had an addiction to external validation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like I wanted people to tell me I was doing a good job. I wanted the gold star. I wanted the certificate or the diploma or the trophy. Like those are the things that I was addicted to, that external pat on the back. And I really had to come to terms with the fact that I'm never going to be satisfied. That's never going to feed the part of my soul that needs that until I give it to myself. And just like anybody who's recovering from an addiction, I fall off the wagon sometimes. You know, there are days when my inner perfectionist rears her head and I'm like, where did that come from? And I really have to be gentle with myself and know that I have decades of being a perfectionist and only, you know, I would say 5 to 10 years I've really been working on this area of my life.
Yeah, so I would say
less time, much less time where I've been focusing on that. And we have to be gentle with ourselves because, you know, I will never be perfect at being not perfect. Does that make sense?
Absolutely does. And I would say not until my 40s that I could really embrace who I was. And I love, so comparison and addiction to perfection, are there any other reasons that you found why people tend to get caught up in being a perfectionist? I think those are two, I've had aha moments as you've been speaking. So mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you found that's pretty significant besides those two that maybe are the reasons that we become perfectionists?
Well, I think fear. I mean, perfectionism is a fear-based thing because we're afraid of not being good enough. We're afraid of not being accepted. We're afraid of being rejected, of failing, of all of those things. And so it's also about fear. And you can ask anybody, what are you afraid of? And then you can find, like, especially if they're a type A kind of personality, that's people who usually tend to be perfectionists, then you can pretty easily tie that in somehow.
Do you keep saying you'll declutter, get organized, or pursue your dream someday, but someday hasn't come? Learn how Julie Caraccio can support you at reawakenyourbrilliance.com.
I think you hit the nail on the head because one thing that I say to myself, and I say it in the mirror, because you know the eyes go right to your soul and you can't lie to yourself if you're looking straight in the mirror, is I'm worthy, I'm good enough, and I'm loved. Because I think
so good.
No matter what is going on, it can boil down to one of those three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so good. I gave myself a gift, last December and I had the word worthy tattooed on my arm.
Nice. Can you show us or is it?
Yeah, I don't, it might be backwards though. So I don't know if it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no. Oh, wow. No, you can see it really well. I love the script. If you're listening to the podcast, you'll have to go to YouTube to see it, but it's very, very groovy.
Yeah. And I have pictures of it on my website too. So you can check it out, because that has really become a touchstone word for me, is acknowledging that my worth is innate. It doesn't increase by what I do, and it doesn't decrease by what I don't do. So sure, there are things in my life I want to do, but accomplishing those things are not going to make me more worthy. And not doing something is not going to make me less worthy. And that's been a very powerful touchstone for me, and something that was so important. I want to put it on my arm so I can see it every single day to remind myself that you know, scars, flaws, imperfections, all of those have worthy written all over them.
I think that's fantastic. Now, what is normal, and I'm doing quotes here, and when should we seek some support for dealing with perfectionism?
That's a really good question. I think that, first of all, if I think this is just sort of a disclaimer, if you feel like you are struggling and are depressed, you need to see a medical professional. And if you came to me and I felt that way, I would also recommend that. But I think really the kind of people that come to me who are struggling, they're struggling with looking around and feeling like, I feel like I have more potential, but what is wrong with me? No matter what I do, it's never enough. And that's where the chronic overachieving comes in, right? I never feel good enough, no matter what I do, no matter how perfectly I try to make my life, it doesn't feel right. And if you have that disconnect, like I said, it's that soul disconnect where we're not aligned with our souls. If you have that, that's when I think you really need to take a good hard look at what is keeping you stuck? What's holding you back from being you and from stepping into your life's true purpose? And that's when you really need to take a hard look at if this is something that is, you know, disempowering you. I think it also comes up in relationships.
Oh, absolutely.
Too. Like that is something that I see with the clients that I work with, is they want their partners to be perfect, and then they want themselves to be perfect in that relationship. And so that's another area where it can really affect your, you know, enjoyment of life and your joy and your happiness. And just, it's so important to be connected and fulfilled in that area of our lives, whether or not it's a romantic relationship or just family or friends relationship, it can really get in the way. So if you're finding that it's getting in the way, or you feel like something's getting in the way and you suspect that it might be that, it would be a good time to take a look at it.
I think, love that you brought up relationships, because one thing I felt guilty, and I not making my husband home cooked every single night. And so he works a swing shift. He's on his way out the door. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you have scheduled, but you know, get out the door. We'll get you taken care of. I had dinner ready. And so I finally had to say, okay, I'm going to go to Trader Joe's. Let's pick out some things you like, so that if I have an interview and can't, or if I have a busy morning and I can't get a homemade cooked meal. So that was something that I had to let go and be like, oh, I'm the worst wife ever. You know, I'm one of the ways, that's how I take care of him. I take care of the house. I take care of everything. And I love doing that. It's the 5% of the time when I'm overwhelmed, and letting go of that. Okay, I'm not an awful wife because I didn't make a home cooked meal. Yeah. And asking for help when I eat it, you know. And what's been great, ladies, this is really great, he snuck out so I can share this. I woke up the other day and he'd done the dishes. He had gone through all the cat litter boxes and done them. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so wonderful. And I thanked him, and it was such a huge help, but not feeling like I have to do it all on my own and asking for support. And I'm not bad wife because I couldn't make him home cooked meal every single day.
Oh my gosh. You know, one of my favorite quotes, and it's a parenting quote, a mothering quote, but I feel like it's so applicable in all of these areas, is that there's no way to be a perfect mother, but a million ways to be a good one. Mm-hmm. And that, I think the name of the woman is Jill Churchill, is the quote. That's something I really like. I have it on my refrigerator. I have it on my mirror upstairs, because I need that reminder. Like, I can try to be perfect, and that is never, ever going to happen. And how many ways to be a good mom am I overlooking, or to be a good wife am I overlooking, because I'm so darn worried that I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
And that's the part of life that we miss out on. One of my clients, it's funny that you mentioned dinner. She has the same thing. Like, she wants to have dinner with her boys every night. And it's like, that's like her thing. She's like, it's really important that we have dinner. And yet she feels like she's not connecting with her children, like on an emotional level, but she's like, we must sit down and eat dinner. And I said, maybe there's another way. Maybe you don't have to have dinner every night and you can go for a walk together, or you can go out to eat together, or you can, you know, find some other unique way to connect with your boys instead of making dinner, because she works and she is really busy and it's not always easy for her. And then in doing that and saying we don't have to have dinner together every single night, then that creates more time for her to take care of herself, which she's been neglecting. And that's a win-win. But it's just about, you know, widening your perspective on what good is, right? Yeah. Like, what is good enough? What is good enough? And not in a bad way. Well, that's good enough. I guess it's good enough. No, but in the best way. Like, there's so many ways to be good and great at what you do, and zero ways to be perfect at it.
And also getting out of our heads, because in my head, my husband's like, oh my gosh, I can go grab a bite to eat from work. That's no big deal. Like, hadn't even entered his mind.
Right.
I didn't have a home cooked meal for him. You know, it wasn't even in his thought process. So having that conversation, expressing that, I think is a really important part of that as well, too. If it involves something like your husband or your kids or spouse, partner, whatever, someone else besides you.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. And I think that gets into this idea that a lot of times the things that we think about ourselves in our head that everyone else must be thinking about us, like, it's not all about us. Like, you know, we may be thinking, oh, my husband thinks I'm a terrible wife because I don't have a home cooked meal. And he hasn't really even thought about you because yeah. It's not really about you. You know, we make a lot of things about ourselves that really, if we can just release that, then we can connect with each other, we can love each other, and be flexible with how we are with each other. And then that makes relationships more joyful, more rewarding, and more sustainable.
Oh, I definitely believe that wholeheartedly. Now, I always try to find the golden nugget in everything. So what would you say are some positive aspects, golden nuggets of perfectionism?
Oh my gosh, there's a lot of them. So a perfect example is perfectionists tend to be very good at the things that they choose to pursue, whether it be career or hobbies or whatever, because they go all in. You know, it's like all perfectionists tend to be all or nothing kind of people. And so when they commit, they commit. And that's a really good quality to have, as long as you can temper that with knowing that that is not required, right? And that it doesn't make you better. Like, you shouldn't do it just because you think that people are going to think you're good at it, or because you're the best or whatever. So for me as a perfectionist, and this has been something, I feel like I've been a perfectionist since I was very, very young. Mm-hmm. And you know, what are the rewards of that? Well, I have 2 degrees in music performance. That's huge. Like, I've done a lot of really great things and I'm proud of myself for that. But also, knowing that not all of those things were things that maybe I really wanted to do. Maybe I just did them because I thought I should do them. Mm-hmm. So I love that you're finding like the good qualities. And I think that as perfectionists or recovering perfectionists, we can really take those personality qualities that sometimes can feed into perfectionism and temper them a little bit with the knowingness that doing more is not going to make us more worthy. Mm-hmm. All right. Good enough comes from within, and letting go of that need for the external affirmation, letting go of that need to, you know, have everybody look at you and say, you've got it all together.
I know we have everything we need inside of us. And I say all the time, and I'm sure you're the same way when working with clients, I support them. They have all the answers within. It's just my job to help support them to tease those and let those come out and come to the surface. But our soul is guiding us, whatever word you feel comfortable with using, we're being guided. It's just, are we awake and aware, and are we listening?
Right. And you must listen, and you must create space to hear that inner voice. I mean, this is what I'm really passionate about, is helping women connect with their inner voice on such a deep level that they know what the answers are. And I find, especially with, you know, perfectionists and chronic overachievers, we're so busy doing all of the things all of the time. We don't take the time to just sit still. Just sit still and listen and be quiet. And we feel like that, you know, for me, a word that I might have associated that with years ago would be lazy.
Mm.
And that was a really triggering word for me for a long time. Like, God forbid anybody think that Kelly Covert is lazy, because that would be like the end of the world. And really what I needed to do is I needed to embrace the idea that rest is important. And that, you know, being lazy every now and then in the best sense of the word is something I need to connect with my soul and to be aligned.
We are human beings, not human doings.
Exactly. I love that. I love that.
Anxious, exhausted, stressed out, losing your mind, ready to get your life back. Go to reawakenyourbrilliance.com to learn how Julie Caraccio can support you.
All right, now, I'm all about taking action on the podcast. So what three action items, or if you have more or less, it's all good. We're not going to be perfectionist about it. Do you have for people to help clear their clutter and their perfectionism? What can they do?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think that the first step is what I was just saying. Find time, make time a priority to get still, to be silent, to connect with that inner voice. And I really, my tool of choice for that is journaling. And so my second step will go along with that. So the first step is create the time and space to do it. And it needs to be quiet. You need to put your phone down, not be distracted. And then grab a pen and a paper. And you're going to love this, Julie. I didn't even think of it till just now. What I call the first step of journaling is clearing space. Mm-hmm. So I just have my clients write stream of consciousness for a few minutes. They're clearing space in their head. We've got to get the stuff out in order to have space to let our inner voice be heard. Mm-hmm. So we can listen. And then once you've created space, then you can really ask the questions that you need to know. What do I need to do today?
Mm-hmm.
How can you guide me? You know, if you have a relationship question or if you have a decision that you have to make, that is the moment where you need to be asking those questions. And I think a lot of people will be like, well, what does this have to do with perfectionism? Well, your inner voice is never going to tell you to do something because you should,
mm-hmm.
or because so-and-so is doing that, mm-hmm. or because you need to win an award or get a pat on the back. You start to make these decisions based not on your external validation, but your internal validation. And then that really starts to change the tide of what being a perfectionist looks like. And the other thing, and this is really, so that's the sort of inner work. Mm-hmm. And then if you wanted to do some outer work, you know, start to recognize scenarios where your inner perfectionist comes up.
Yeah.
I'll give you a really good example. I used to be a triathlete, and I loved that. And I did it for a very long time and I got really burnt out. And so I went right from that to doing CrossFit. Which is like not low intensity. And that's pretty typical of me. Like I said, all or nothing, right? And it's a pretty competitive environment. And I realized, you know, I was getting really triggered by that. Like my perfectionist, like I was comparing a lot. I would feel like bad if I wasn't, you know, doing as much as so-and-so, or, you know, if I took longer for a time, to work out or whatever. And so I actually had to step away for about a year. Like I removed that trigger from my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that some people might think that that's a drastic step, but it was necessary for me. Like that's how much of a perfectionist I was. That's how serious I was about not letting that keep me from my joy anymore. Not letting that say to me anymore that I was not good enough. Like, I was tired of it. I was done with it. I was ready to be whole and to not need that from anybody else, but to find it inside of me. So for me, I needed to step away from something I really enjoyed for almost a year. And the good thing was, is when I went back, I really protected myself. Like, I knew what I needed to do in order to come from this place of like, I'm doing this for me and it's okay if I don't look like anybody else. And it's okay if I'm not as strong as everyone else or whatever. And it's been really empowering, like that process too of coming back to it. Mm-hmm. I've learned a lot in that also. So remove your triggers. If you find yourself in certain situations that really challenge you, take some space from that.
I love that. The first time I did a triathlon, my biggest fear came true, which was that I would come in last.
Mm.
And I was in my 20s, and it just came to me as you were talking about it. And I was mortified. And then I had done it with a friend. And I mean, I'm like at the end, they've got the little guy on the bike following me. And you know, they have like the cones or whatever to know that the race has ended. But then I was like, I just did a triathlon. I am awesome.
Good for you.
People saying to me, that's so great that you did that, and having to switch that thinking. And so after that, then I had joy in doing it. And thankfully it was the first one, because I'm like, I've already come in last. You know, I've already got across that hurdle. We're good to go. But then I could find the joy and the awesomeness of, wow, look at what you accomplished.
Yeah.
How great that you could do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I find sport and, you know, like physical things to be a really great way to learn these deeper concepts for myself, and something that I like to apply this stuff with. So if you are an athlete, or you like to do, not everyone calls themselves an athlete, but I think everyone who does athletic things are athletes. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a great way to, you know, dig into this in a way that makes sense. And when we're doing something physical, like, our bodies soak it in a different kind of way. So combining that is really powerful work, I think.
I love that. Now, Kelly, tell people how, or unless you have any more thoughts, I don't want to cut you off, and if share any final thoughts, and then let people know how they can find out more information about you.
Great. Well, my only final thought would be this, that you matter. Everyone listening to this, you matter. You make a difference. You are important in this world, and we need you to shine brightly. We need you to be aligned with your true purpose and to step out and be strong and be proud and love all of who you are, because that's how we get to experience your gift. And so if you take only one thing away from our conversation, take that away, that you mattered, that you matter, and that you are loved, and that you are needed. So if you guys want to learn more about what I do as an inner voice coach, you can check out my website, kellycovert.com. That's kellycovert.com. And I actually have up there right on the main page, a five days of journaling challenge. And it's a free challenge. It's just 5 days of to help you get into that place of establishing a routine of connecting with your inner voice. And, there's different ways of journaling and different ideas and journaling prompts. So it's a great way to kind of dive into that. If you're new to journaling, or even if you've been doing it for a little while and you need a little refresher.
Excellent. Well, thank you. This is good information, and I'm thrilled, because perfectionism, really, when we clear that, we're clearing a major amount of clutter.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Thanks, Julie.
You're welcome. All right, everyone. On next week's episode, I'm going to talk about how to have a garage sale. Go out, clear the clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire.
Ready to live a more joyful and fulfilling life? Sign up for our newsletter at reawakenyourbrilliance.com and receive a free copy of 10 Steps to Clearing Clutter Inside and Out. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out. See you next Tuesday at 1 p.m.